So, Ross, how was your first day at Southside High?
Besides my teacher telling me welcome to hell, I think it was a pretty good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to River Dudes. I am your host, AJ Leeson. Welcome to the show. We're very happy to have you guys come back and listen to us. I am not alone today. With me... you ruined it. But with me today is my friend, my co-host, Ross Jones. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Ah, pretty good. How about yourself? What's good. New?
Yeah, not much. Just, you know, I can't wait to talk about this episode.
Samesies. I cannot wait myself. Also with us today is playwright, actor, historian, Christopher Paul Conforti. Welcome to the show, bud.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to be back.
Yes.
Yeah, we were thinking about who we wanted to have as a special guest, and he offered, so we're bringing him back.
Yeah.
Well, the choice was really obvious because two of my favorite things ever are mentioned in this episode, so the choice was really obvious.
Yes.
It had to be.
Because
who else was going to do it?
Right.
Other than me.
Because once we get to the Easter eggs, and we'll talk about this, I was like, oh, we need to have Chris be in this episode.
Yeah.
Especially, well, there's two of his favorite things of all time. So I was like, Chris, yeah, you might want to be back. I know it's like the next episode. He's like, no, I'm happy to come back and talk about it.
Had nothing to do with the $5 that he offered to pay me.
Right. Yes. you weren't supposed to tell anyone. But anyways, today we are talking about Chapter 16, The Watcher in the Woods, which shares the title with the 1980 Betty Davis film. And I checked it out, and it was her third to last film. Not counting like TV movies or anything, just actual films. It was her third to last one. This episode was written by Ross Maxwell, who has done Riverdale before. He did the episode Heart of Darkness, which is a phenomenal episode.
Good episode, yeah. Real good episode.
Also, this is directed by Kevin Rodney Sullivan, who did episode 11 in the first season.
Yeah.
He directed it, and it's to Riverdale and back again, where, like, Archie and Veronica are singing on stage, and then they all sneak into FP's trailer, and he gets arrested by the end of the episode. It's a phenomenal episode, probably one of the best of the first season.
Yeah.
But here's a fun fact about Kevin Rodney Sullivan. He played John Gant in the movie Buckaroo Banzai, which is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Growing up, loved it.
I heard of it, never saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I Peter Weller, John Lithgow, Christopher Lloyd, Jeff Goldblum. Like, there's so many people in this movie. It's ridiculous. It's so good.
Stacked, yeah.
Yeah, stacked. But I guess without further ado, let's get right into this episode.
Let's get into it.
Let's jump into the river.
Yes, we will jump right into that river. Like
Sweetwater River.
You're
on fire today.
You are on fire. So the episode starts with Kevin jogging in the woods, and he meets a man there, and they start kissing. Like, they're complete strangers. Like, they don't even know each other, but they start kissing, and then they hear gunshots, and that dude just, like, takes off. Like, he just runs away, and I'm like, okay. Kevin actually runs towards the gunshots, and that's when he comes across Midge, who's like, help us, help us. And she's like covered in blood. And if you guys remember, the last episode left off where the Black Hood attacked Midge and Moose. He shot them point blank.
And Moose took all the shots. Like, he got in front of Midge and took all the shots. And
he
blocked her. So.
And so the next day they're at football practice. And Reggie comes in and he's like, hey, football practice is canceled because of what happened to Moose.
Yeah.
And everyone discusses what a miracle that Moose and Midge actually survived the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, were you guys actually surprised that they survived?
Yeah, I was. When I first saw it, I was.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
You think I was kind of by design?
I think so. Because I think so.
We'll get into it a little bit, but I kind of think it was by design.
Right. And so then V and the gang, like the core four plus Kevin, they're all talking about it.
Yeah.
And they're in the lounge, they're school discussing lounge. It. Yeah. Lounge,
where they always hang out.
Right.
Their hangout spot.
V is, she's like, okay, you know, it's crazy what happened, but like, why don't I invite all of you over to my place tonight?
To meet my dad.
Yeah. To meet my dad. Yeah, I would actually really like if everyone could come.
The first meeting of her dad.
Right.
First time.
And so,
since he's been home.
Yeah, and so the gang is like ready to depart. They're all like heading out, and Jug's like, oh yeah, today's my first day at Southside High.
Yeah.
And then Betty gets Kevin alone, and she, like, pulls him aside, and she's, like, giving him a little bit of...
like a lecture.
Right, like about his night jogging.
Yeah, telling him not to run it in the woods anymore.
Right, like, to stop meeting people in the woods. And it's like, all right, you know, like, you know, just lay out of it. Like, stay out of this, don't talk about it.
Yeah, Kevin's like, stay out of it, get out of my business. And
right.
Let me do what I want to do.
And yeah, and they get into it even worse, like, down the road. But so she kind of gives them, like, you know, a heads up, like, it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But now we get cut over to Jug, and he's starting his first day at Southside High. And then Tony Topaz, who is a character from the comics, she is giving him the grand tour of Southside High.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, yeah, this is like the metal detector you have to walk through.
Yeah.
And, it's like American History X over here. And it's just like, there's gangs on this side, gangs over here.
Yeah.
Plus there's a jingle jangle drug problem here.
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell are you talking about? A jingle jangle. She's like, oh, it's, you know,
it's commonplace here.
Right. And so he gets the gist of that school, like a little bit, you know. So we get to see that. Then it cuts over to Archie, and he finds out from Moose, he's at the hospital, that it was definitely the Black Hood that attacked.
Yeah, because he describes him the same way as Archie did.
Right.
With the green eyes.
And he's like, yeah, are you sure it wasn't a ski mask? He's like, no, it was like a hood.
Yeah.
So Archie gets confirmation that it is the Black Hood that attacked them too.
Yeah.
And Archie's almost like putting stuff together where he thinks the Black Hood is also responsible for Miss Grundy.
Mm-hmm.
Which we know as the audience, but like Archie, like, and Riverdale, like even Sheriff Keller doesn't know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They can't connect all three murders yet.
Right. Because
they don't know all the information yet.
Yeah, exactly. And so we cut over and we're at Veronica's. And Archie cannot stop thinking about the Black Hood.
Yeah.
He's like almost yelling at his friends about how he thinks the Black Hood is responsible for everything bad that's been happening.
Yeah, and everything that involves him.
Right.
Like, because he was it's in like a relationship. Close to home. Yeah, he was in a relationship with Miss Grundy.
Right.
His dad almost got killed.
Right.
So it's always somebody that he's connected to or in a relationship with.
Yes.
So
yes.
It always has something to do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but for the most part.
Right. And so Archie starts getting really worked up. And that's when Hiram meets the gang. And he agrees that Sheriff Keller is probably not the solution.
Yeah.
Like, he is not helping this case at all, and that Archie is probably right that other people need to step up because Sheriff Keller is not juggling all these problems well.
Yeah, he's not doing enough to figure it out.
Yeah. So, and it cuts over to Archie. He's home, and he's looking at the gun he got off of Dalton Doyle. He gets the gun, and he picks up a comic book, because it's stashed in, like, a toolbox. He opens it. He, like, picks up a couple comics that were over the gun.
Yeah, it's a handgun.
Yeah. It's a handgun. And he gets inspiration from the comic to name his group.
The Red Circle.
Red Circle. Yeah. So Archie creates the Red Circle with Reggie and the other Bulldog, like, football players with Dalton Doyle and too. And he's like, yeah, we need it. We need to step up. Like, we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect Riverdale.
Yeah.
And the football gang's like, which I was like, that's pretty cool. What were your thoughts on that? Like,
I think it's really cool. I think it was a really good idea for him to do that.
Yeah.
Because it just shows, like, you get together and you form an alliance or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just shows they really want to save Riverdale, and they really care.
Yeah.
I guess to play devil's advocate with it, an alliance only works as far as you know what the target is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I see what he was doing, what he was trying to do, but at the same time, you're just driving around, like, looking for something every single day. And then in my view, if you're looking for something bad enough, you're going to find it, especially as we know last episode, everybody wears a black hood in Riverdale. So obviously you're going to find somebody wearing a black hood because everybody's doing it. That's like a cool hip thing to do in Riverdale now.
Yeah. And it's basically, I mean, I still don't, I can't get over Reggie showing up at his house.
With the black hood.
Yeah. Like, what are you thinking? His dad was shot by a person wearing that. Like, what are you thinking? Yeah. But anyways.
But I like the idea. I think it was a good idea to kind of strike fear into the black hood.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I just think if you're looking for something badly enough, with the exception of money, you'll find it.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure. So we get back to, like, where Betty and Kevin are still arguing about his night jogging. Mm-hmm. And we see, like, this argument is just escalating. Each time it goes back.
Gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
Every time.
And then V is telling Archie that her parents want him to come over for dinner. So we got, like, that is going on with those guys. Now it cuts over to the Coopers, and the Coopers get a letter from the Black Hood.
Yeah.
Wanting his letter to get published.
The register.
Right. And it's very Zodiac like, because the Zodiac Killer would send letters to the San Francisco newspaper wanting it to get published, you know, to newspapers. But they're not sure if it's actually the letter, but then they actually have physical proof that it is.
Yeah, because they get Fred's wallet.
Right.
And they get
Glasses.
The sunglasses.
Yeah. Miss Grundy's sunglasses.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's almost confirmation that, yes, it is the Black Hood, and he is serious.
Because he's the only one that would have those materials. He's the only one that would have that stuff.
And like, Sheriff Keller and the mayor are like, do not, like, give us some time to get on this letter.
Yeah.
Do not publish it. Like, do not put it in the paper. But Alice, it goes against. She's like, no, I think the people should know. And Sheriff Keller has a point, though, too, because he's like, everyone in Riverdale, it'll be a frenzy, like a madhouse.
Yeah, it'll be chaos.
Right. So he brings up a good point, but at the same time, Alice is like, what if he kills another person again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to take this serious.
Yeah.
So then we get where Jug's at school, and he wants to kickstart the paper outside high, and he gets Tony to help. We see where he's in the classroom, and this is where we meet his great teacher, by the way, for the first time. The teacher's like, all right, guys, this famous book is written by Ray Bradbury, and Can anyone tell me the significance of the title? Anybody? And, like, no one's answering.
Yeah.
They're all, like, Sweet Pea just runs out of the classroom. We, like, no reason. I still don't know why. He just, like, runs out of the classroom. But anyways, he's like, anybody, anybody?
Yeah, Jughead's the only one that raises
his hand. Yeah, Jughead's like, Fahrenheit 451, it's like the temperature to burn the paper, burn the book.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, yeah, welcome to hell. And you're like, why would he say that to a student? But Jughead goes up to him afterwards.
Class.
And he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about starting the paper here. I would be very interested in doing that.
Yeah, and
I was told to talk to you about
it. Yeah, he heard that he was the former
editor
of the paper.
Yeah. And so Jughead's like, yeah, you know, and the teacher's like, you got stuff online that I created? And he's like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Like, he's very, like, zero Fs given.
He doesn't care. Whatever.
So then it cuts over to where Moose and Kevin are chatting about their limited options in Riverdale. Mm-hmm. This is one of my favorite moments in this episode because they're talking about how, like, people who are straight have a lot of options,
mm-hmm.
where people like them
don't.
It's very limited, especially in Riverdale.
Yeah.
You know? And because even at one point, Betty's like, why don't you just go on Grindr or something? And he's like, it doesn't work. And people you meet online are never the real people that you talk to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's right. And it's true. Like, yeah. But in her defense, in Betty's defense too, it, like, yeah, you can meet people in the woods, right? But right now is not the safest time because mm-hmm. of the Black Hood being out there and being in the woods where Midge and Moose were just attacked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I see it's a very fine line, this argument, because you could see from both of their sides, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's a great discussion, and that's when Midge shows up, and she's like, oh, I saw the killer, and oh, it was terrible. But anyways, we get where Reggie picks up Arch, and they're doing, like, a red circle watch, and they're in the car, and he's like, I thought you said no weapons, and Archie's like, well, this is my old baseball bat. He's like, take a look in the back seat, and you see where he has a couple things, but one is a boomerang. Did you guys notice that?
I didn't notice that.
No.
Oh, yeah, one, and there's a boomerang in his back seat. I'm like,
what the fuck is he gonna use that for? Yeah.
Who are you gonna throw that at?
Was he gonna throw it and then have it come back to him?
He's like, hey, maybe, Black Hood.
It hit somebody on the way?
Yeah.
Maybe they're setting it up.
Maybe something's gonna get used. Maybe something is being set up there. But yeah, so then we cut over where Jug is telling Betty that Jingle Jangle actually comes from Southside High. Like, she goes to visit Jug at the school, like, Southside High, mm-hmm. and see him setting up, like, the newspaper, because he got the okay to go ahead and do it. And that's when he tells her, yeah, Jingle Jangle, that drug is coming from here. Like, students mm-hmm. are selling it. And
yeah, he tells Betty that, yeah.
Yeah. Now we cut over where Ethel, it's nighttime,
yeah.
and Ethel has a run-in with a creepy van, and she ends up calling Archie,
yeah.
and she tells Archie, she's like, "I, there's someone who's following me, he keeps driving by and slowing down, and help me." And so they arrive, and the van just drives off, and Archie and Reggie are looking around, and they can't find Ethel at first.
He goes in, like, a corn maze to find her, and he finally finds her.
Yeah, and finally, yeah, she comes out, and she's like, oh, is he gone? You know, so it's a really intense moment, actually, because they're building up two things at the same time.
Yeah.
The other thing that they're building towards is where Kevin is going out for a midnight jog.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Betty, you know, shows up and confronts him. And Kevin just goes off on Betty.
Yeah.
Like, he is like, it's not easy for me. I'm not that type of person. Like, I don't have access to the, like, people like you do. You know, like,
it's not as easy for him as it is for her.
Right. He's like, you talking about Archie and kissing Jughead, and you tell me this is disgusting. This is me. Like, this is who I am. Like, yeah. It's not disgusting. This is what I have. Like, this is my only option.
Yeah.
And you say it's disgusting, and it really hurts my feelings. And she, like, is like, I'm sorry, but you have to understand from my point of view, like, this is where Midge and Moose were attacked.
Yeah.
And so, such, like, you see the dynamic. Like, she mm-hmm. does care yeah. for Kevin.
She does, yeah.
And you see the frustration for Kevin. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. But it's really a great, great scene. So then we, it's still that same night, and Jug is at the school late at night, and he's leaving the school paper, and he hears people, like, running in the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of gets a little freaked out, and because he knows it's the Ghoulies, and the Ghoulies have, if they take out him, mm-hmm. like, beat him up,
mm-hmm.
it's FP's son, who's like a serpent king, you know what I mean? So if they can get their hands on him, it would be like a way to get some stripes, you know what I mean, for mm-hmm. a Ghoulie. But so Jug ends up getting attacked late at night at that, like, at school,
mm-hmm.
and he gets beat up really bad. Not real bad, but yeah, pretty bad.
Bad enough, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's the next morning, and Betty is there, and she's, like, cleaning up, like, some of, like, his black eye and stuff. And she's like, so you fell off your bike? And that's when we find out Jug actually didn't tell her the truth that he was attacked.
No, he lied about it. Yeah, he said he got in a motorcycle accident.
Right, he's like, oh, I fell off my bike, yeah. You know, like, she's like, you need to, like, stop, like, wear a helmet or something, you know? Yeah. And yeah, so that's when we see where Tony Topaz is there, and mm-hmm. she says, oh, don't worry, like, the serpents will have his back. Mm-hmm. Like, no one will touch him or anything.
Yeah.
But Betty still doesn't know, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
The truth about what happened.
No.
Now we get where Archie has having dinner with the Lodges, and Hiram pulls Archie aside. He's like, yeah. I want to have a man-to-man talk with mm-hmm. Arch for a second. And
in the study.
Right. And so they, like, and tells Arch, you know, this, he sits him down and he's like, listen, I think what you're doing with the Red Circle is good. It needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
I think you need to really send a message to, you need to be on the offensive.
Yeah.
And Archie's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he's like, another thing, stop sneaking into
Rock is better.
Yeah. Man. He's like, seriously, and don't ever, ever hurt her. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hiram. It's really scary, actually. It's like
the whole scary. Meeting is, or the whole, I guess I should say, dinner is filled with this weird tension.
Yes.
Just based on what Hiram, like, there's tension between Hermione and V.
Yeah.
There's
tension between her dad.
Yeah. Tension between is, like, her dad and her.
Yeah.
And then there's tension between Archie and Hiram. So the whole scene is just really,
yeah,
it's very, like, tension filled.
Right. It's like a rubber band just being stretched all the way out. And you're just, like,
ready for it to pop.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's the
pun intended.
Yes. I love it. I love it.
I thought of these all night. So a couple more.
But yeah, and so it's like we get to see where Polly, we go back to the Coopers,
yeah.
And Polly is leaving again.
Yeah. She's moving away.
Yeah, because she feels like Black Hood will target her specifically because of the whole incestuous Blossom Cooper bloodline.
Yeah.
And
she feels like her mom's not going to support her
right
with anything.
So. Right.
I hope Polly isn't one of anybody's favorite characters because she comes and goes like really quickly.
She's like, I'm going to stay. I'm out. I'm out. Yeah. You know?
It's like the house in the Crucible. Everybody just kind of walks in and walks out like it's nothing.
So we have it cuts to Kevin.
Yeah.
And now he's going for a night jog and he comes across this car.
Yeah, this sketchy guy.
This guy, yeah, so at first he's
this guy's unnecessarily creepy too.
He is like super
creepy. Super creepy.
Yeah.
Like I've this episode now I've seen twice and every time I'm looking I'm like, why is this dude like such like a creep?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is
don't be a tease, dickhead.
Yeah, yeah, he's like he's pretty much like, get in the car. Get in the car.
Get in the car, dickhead. What do you tease?
So we see where Kevin gets in the car, but it's actually
a dream.
Like a dream kind of sequence where he's envisioning like something that could happen.
And he stabs him, and then Kevin's like, I'm not getting in the car.
Yeah. So Kevin has this vision where he gets stabbed by this guy, like the creep in the car.
Yeah.
So he like, and then it cuts back where he doesn't get in the car. He's like outside. He's like, you know what? I'm going to pass on this. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I actually read something really interesting that I wanted to tell you guys. Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, he was telling Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah.
He was inspired by Brokeback Mountain for this. And have you guys seen Brokeback or no?
I have not.
I never saw it, but I know of it.
There's a scene where Heath Ledger's character finds out the death of another character.
Yeah.
And he starts to envision like what happened exactly.
Yeah.
Because the character was gay and was attacked. So he actually drew inspiration for that scene, like that whole Kevin having the vision of him getting attacked.
Mm-hmm.
He was inspired by Brokeback Mountain to do that scene. But yeah, so it was really, really interesting. I'm like, wow, because I love that movie. I'm a huge, huge fan. Mm-hmm. And so when I found that out, I'm like, wow, that's actually really cool. But anyways, we see where Betty went to the Sheriff Keller's house to tell her, like, he basically, Betty went there to tell Sheriff Keller everything that's happening with Kevin.
And to look for Kevin, too.
Right. So Kevin comes home, and because Kevin is just creeped out by that guy, he just goes
home. He runs home, yeah.
And so he goes home, and that's when we find out, like, this is what I love about the show, too. You think, like, the dad's going to have, like, a hard time with his son being gay.
Yeah, but he isn't.
But he doesn't. And this is what I love about the show. Because we find out, like, he actually just loves his son and he wants him to be safe.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about his sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like, oh, making a big deal out of that.
Yeah.
It's more so his safety. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, the core of the show, that's what I love.
Yep.
That these characters aren't, you know, like one-dimensional characters that we see all the time in TV shows and stuff, where these are actually like feel very tangible. You know what I mean? Like this dad cares about his son more than like anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants him to be safe and make safe choices.
Yeah.
So he's an awesome dad, basically. But this is and then it ends where Archie shoots a warning video to the Black Hood, saying the Red Circle is coming for him.
And at the end, you see Hiram looking on his laptop at the video.
Right.
And Archie's, you know, saying it to the Black Hood, and he's the one watching it.
Yeah.
So it seems like Hiram is involved with the Black Hood. And
or something, yeah. Like, what are your thoughts with that? Like, you think Hiram, like, maybe setting Archie up for doom?
Well, he has to be because he immediately backtracks in it.
Yeah.
Very shortly.
Right. Yeah.
He immediately is going to backtrack in it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think so. Yeah. I think he's kind of setting him up a little bit.
Hiram seems to be involved with everything bad in Riverdale.
Right.
I actually have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about this, just, you know, my psychology, I guess, brain going here. So they sit down and they're going to have a dinner, right?
Right.
Archie and Hiram. Archie is roughly, what are we saying, 16?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 16.
What are we saying roughly around 16?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Hiram offers him alcohol.
Oh, I know, right?
There's two ways that you can take that. And if you were in this situation, would you accept the alcohol? Because this could be a test in more than one way.
Right.
If you accept the alcohol, then you're going to be an alcoholic. You're not good enough for my daughter.
Right.
But if you don't accept it,
you're a pussy. Then Hiram says you're a pussy.
He could say, yeah, you're a pussy. Yeah. Or, you know, or it could be, oh, well, what a great dishonor that you won't accept the alcohol that I'm giving to you, which I shouldn't give you, but I'm willing to give you. So I'm just curious what you guys would do in that situation, because there's two ways to look at that.
Well,
it's kind of a double-edged sword. He chooses the right way, but
I think the
way he looks at it, though, he wants him to accept it. But if I was in that situation, I probably wouldn't accept it. But the way he looks at it, he wants him to accept it.
Right, and I think it is a double-edged sword.
Me too. If I was a dad, I would set that up as a test.
Right. I think it's one of those things where we see where Hiram is a very, I don't know, like he is a chess player. You know what I mean? He's like Bobby Fischer. Like, yeah. I feel like he's always like 5 or 6 steps ahead of everyone. Yeah. And I think he wants to pin Archie in a corner. Mm. That he has to pick 1 or 2 ways to get out of all the time.
It's always a test. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that like he is hoping Archie makes the wrong choice every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he actually wants Archie to fail.
Yeah.
I think so too. I'm curious what you guys would do in that situation. Cause I saw that and I'm looking and I'm like, well, there's 2 ways that could turn out.
Right.
And I mean, only one way technically is the right way, but it could have went either of those ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a 16-year-old getting high-priced lodge liquor, I believe.
Yeah, rum.
It was rum, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it is a step towards failure. Like, that's what he wants. He's like setting him up for failure.
Well, there's 2 competitions in his...
Right.
2 guys in his girl's life, and one of them happens to be the person that is sitting across from him at the dinner table.
Exactly.
Or at least somewhat close to him.
Yeah. So I guess we will get into the Easter eggs and pop culture references.
Favorite.
Yes. This is as you guys know, the Red Circle is a comic. But it was the name of the Archie Comics horror and fantasy line. In the 1970s. Then it turned into the superhero line in the 1980s. So the Red Circle actually was like the name of like their horror fantasy line at first. But the Ghoulies were actually first introduced in the Sabrina cartoon in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Tony Topaz, she showed up in 2012. Like, she's actually a fairly new character.
Nice.
Yeah. She showed up in Jughead Double Digest number 176. She shows up in... she actually helps Jughead with a few problems and stuff. Then we have a reference to Westworld, mentioned by Tony Topaz, talking about the automated robots malfunctioning and taking over. Also, we get... Carrie, mentioned by Kevin regarding Moose and Midge, he's like, oh my gosh, she looked like Carrie because she was like covered in Moose's blood, you know, when he's talking about the crime scene. We also have a reference to The Bachelorette by Veronica. She's like, I want you guys to come over and watch The Bachelorette.
And Jughead's like, I don't want to see that soap opera.
He's like, I'm not interested, but I'll be there. So then we have where Midge, actually, this will go over to Chris because it's probably one of his favorite horror movies of all time. But she actually calls the Hood Michael Myers. And that he had the devil's eyes.
Black dead eyes.
Right.
The devil's eyes.
Were you pumped when you heard that? Because Halloween's your favorite movie.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. When I heard that, I was kind of excited. And, of course, this show does numerous horror movie references, which I love.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they're going to do a bunch of them coming up, which I'll definitely be talking about.
me and Chris are big fans of the Halloween movies.
Yeah.
And we're excited for the new one to come out.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, if you haven't seen the trailer, not a plug time, but that's a good one to see. But no, that's one of my favorite altogether quotes, maybe in at least horror movie history, maybe all time. It's a good quote by Dr. Sam Loomis when he's describing what he had seen of his patient Michael Myers in Halloween, which was a blackest eyes, devil's eyes.
Right.
But I'm not going to go any further into it because this podcast will turn into an hour and probably a full day.
Talking about Halloween.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a Halloween podcast eventually. Yeah.
You can't see it, but I'm like literally as soon as he mentioned that this part was coming up, I'm like my face just got a huge grin to it. You can't see it, but I assure you it's there.
Yeah, for the viewers listening at home, I hope you heard his grin.
Yes.
Chris had a Halloween Michael Myers mask.
Yeah. I actually have 5 Halloween Michael Myers masks. So that's oh my god, I'm such a nerd. And I have 6 on the way with the new one.
Oh, well, I'm sure William Shatner's happy.
This is why I'm single.
No, so...
This is exactly why I'm single.
We also get a reference to Taxi Driver, because when Archie's getting worked up at Veronica's, Jug calls Archie. He's like, whoa, 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 you're going like full Travis Bickle over there, which is great. Love it. We also get mention of Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. Also, Tony mentions Beetlejuice in reference to Betty. She's like, I thought you would look like Lydia from Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And then finally, Chris, I'll let you take this over because this is your favorite thing too.
V wants to be in the room where it happens. For all of you guys who don't know the room where it happens, this is a reference to the Broadway hit musical Hamilton, in which the story follows Alexander Hamilton, kind of not so much growing up, but really in the founding of the country era to the later part of his life. And it's based on the play by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And if you haven't downloaded that CD, you absolutely need to.
Because yes, it is buy amazing. It's so good. It's really, really good. And also, if you want to lay out really quick the reference about being in the room
where it happens. Okay, so there's a song called "The Room Where It Happens." So Aaron Burr's famous for in the play anyway, trying to be in the room where it happens. Aaron Burr in the play is a person who is willing to really wait for his opportunities to happen, where Hamilton kind of takes it. And Hamilton always gets to be in the room where it happens, and Aaron Burr never gets to. So there's a song that's like, I want to be in the room where it happens. I love it. I can't stop when I say yeah. The room where it happens. But
Chris is a big fan of Hamilton, if you haven't noticed.
I'm a big fan of everything Hamilton.
Yeah.
I mostly like Jefferson a little bit more. But I love Hamilton.
Well, you're a history buff.
I'm just
buff.
A history buff. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I love the musical, but not to spoil it, so you should actually hear it, but Aaron Burr actually does end up in the room where it happens.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe Veronica will too.
Yeah. Maybe we will see.
You will see.
We'll see. And in reference, like, Veronica brings that up because she wants to be in the room where
making
Archie
decisions and all
in
that other
Hiram,
stuff.
Well, especially Hiram, it's his office. Like, and she wants to be in there because she feels, even like her mother is not allowed to go in.
But she says like she wants to get dirty too.
Right. Yeah, so that's why Veronica, she says, I want to be in the room where it happens. Ross, if you want to take it away, bud.
Okay, rating for this episode, I give it a 5 out of 5 Pops Burgers.
Same, give it? Samesies.
Samesies?
Okay. Yeah. Chris, same?
Sure. Yeah. Yes, I'll give it 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because of the reference.
All right, plug.
I will.
We could start plugging this episode. Plugs, you can follow us on Twitter at RiverDudesPod. My personal Twitter is at Recovery108. Our Instagram is at River Dudes Podcast. We're now available on Google Podcasts if you want to listen to us on there. And if you could please rate and review us on iTunes, we would appreciate it. And if you guys want to recommend any shows or movies that you think that we should review on a podcast, feel free to let us know on our Twitter page. And thanks for all your support.
Yeah, yeah, guys, thank you so much. And then, Chris, if you want to plug anything.
Sure. My personal, well, not my personal, but my brother and I are coming out with the podcast, which I mentioned last week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to follow us on our Twitter, it's @MarksBrosWWE. And the other plug I wanted to do again is the Wolf Conservation Center.
Awesome.
Not to get political with it, there's a war in the United States on wolves. And if you would like to support and help and try to save critically endangered wolves, go to www.newyorkwolf.org. And, you know, anything you could do, whether that's sharing videos or writing your local legislatures, that'll help. Again, that's www.newyorkwolf.org.
Awesome. And guys, thank you, Chris. Thanks again for coming. And Ross, thanks for being my co-host. I love you. But guys, River Dudes, out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.